There is almost no place in the world that does not contain salt. It's essential to human life and has also provided endless contributions to our culture. The philosopher Homer called it a divine substance. The Romans said that a man in love was in a salted state, salax, the root for the word salacious. And here's one more salt fact. The early settlers of New England ate a lot of salted red herring. When they went hunting, they would leave the salted fish along their path. The strong smell would confuse wild animals and throw them off the trail. You guessed it, the term red herring. These and other stories can be found in Mark Kurlansky's comprehensive new book, Salt, A World History. He also writes that salt is the only rock which human beings eat.
It's the only rock I eat, anyway.
Deliberately.
Right. As far as I know, it's the only edible rock up until the 20th century. If you had a perishable food, the only way to turn it into a commodity of trade, of international trade, was to salt it.
You're right, though. Until 100 years ago, salt was coveted. What happened 100 years ago?
It was done in by oil. Geology, which was a fairly slowly developing science, the commercial wing of it anyway, was all about finding salt. And when you talked about boring the earth, drill rigs, wells, this was about salt. And one of the things that geologists were trying to find is what is called salt domes, which were solid columns of sodium chloride that went, we now know, miles and miles into the earth. If you could find one of these domes, you had quite a salt supply. But the problem was that a lot of times the salt would come out very black and mucky and it'd be hard to clean. So it turns out the black muck is oil. And oil and natural gas tend to develop on the edges of salt domes. Once that was discovered, there was considerably more incentive to finding salt domes. The technology of drilling very rapidly in the space of 10, 15 years, dramatically increased.
So salt was readily available and it became...
Yeah, I mean, once they became really good at drilling, they discovered that it was everywhere and it ruined the whole thing.
The whole thing. Salt is so rich in symbolism. It occurs, for example, in many of the religious traditions for a variety of reasons. One of the things you tell us about is the French salting their children to protect them from evil before they were baptized.
Yeah, and
salting their children.
Yes, well, it preserves them.
I guess.
and baptismal water was originally salted. This comes from the fact that salt preserves. But
protects, too? So, in theory, protects against evil?
Well, there's two directions that religion went with this. One was it preserved and it kept things. So, for instance, in the Jewish religion and in the Muslim religion, it seals a bargain because, you know, it means that it will stay forever. So, if you're Jewish, on Friday night, you say a blessing over bread and you dip it into the salt, and it means that this covenant between God and man is forever. You would notice if you look closely at the painting of the Last Supper that there is an overturned salt cellar in front of Judas, meaning an agreement has been broken. Mm. The other direction this went was that because salting stops rotting, that it protects you from evil. In Haitian voodoo, salt is the only way to restore a zombie to life.
Japanese theater, salt is sprinkled on the stage to exorcise the evil spirits.
Before the theater begins, yeah.
Yeah. Salt is currency. Now, that seems rather obvious. Were there salt wars?
No, there were many salt wars. I mean, there were wars over salt, and there were also wars financed by salt. The Punic Wars, for example, were financed by salt. Salt revenue, salt taxation built the Great Wall of China, which was about a war that they were having on their northern border. There were also salt revolutions.
Give us an example of one.
Well, the most spectacular, I suppose, is the French Revolution. One of the major issues of the French Revolution was the French system of taxing salt called the gabelle. The rules of the gabelle varied from region to region. so that the price of salt varied from region to region. So it was an irresistible temptation to smuggle salt. And people were arrested for this. The prisons were full of salt smugglers. And this was a very bitter thing to the French population. Another famous salt revolution was the independence movement in India. Gandhi went to the Congress Party, which was pretty much made up of upper-class aristocrats. And he said, the way to kick off this movement and make it a national movement is to protest the British salt law. Everybody thought he was crazy. And he said, this is something that the average Indian really cares about, because the British had suppressed the local production of salt, which meant not only that in salt regions, everybody was out of work and in really miserable poverty, but also that salt, which traditionally was very cheap and available to even the poorest people, had become quite expensive because they had to buy taxed Cheshire salt. So he had this dramatic march for to a place along the Arabian Sea where salt cakes up. And he just leaned over and picked up a piece of salt and held it in his hand, and he had broken British law. This started a national movement. People all over the country started imitating it, and it was the beginning of the Indian independence movement.
You have your own personal salt totem?
Yeah, I have this little copper tray that is turning green with salt rocks from different salt mines I've visited around the world. And these rocks are fascinating. They seem to have a life of their own. There was a Jungian psychiatrist named Ernst Jones who wrote this whole treatise on what's wrong with people like me. What is this obsession with salt? And he concluded that it seems to be about salt, but it's really about sex. One of the things he said was that in Ethiopia, people keep salt rocks in their house, and when visitors come over, they lick them. When people come to my apartment in New York, and I show them these rocks, I say they're salt. The first thing that almost everybody says is, can I taste it?
Mark Kurlansky, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Leon.
Mark Kurlansky is the author of Salt, A World History. He joined us in our Washington studio.